Deja vu.
All right, good morning. All right. So, yes, this morning we're the title of what I'm doing here is In the Midst of the Storm, A Father's View of Faith Perspective. And so that's kind of where we're going. And it's going to be, we'll kind of see, a lot of you guys know some of what's gone on in the past couple of years. It's been a crazy year indeed. But God brings us through. I'm going to open in prayer, and then right after that, we're going to let a piece of music play, and the words are up there, and so I'd ask you kind of focus on what she is saying in there, because that's going to kind of set the tone for where we're going. So let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. God, we thank you for everything that you put in our path, and that you're able to use that. And I pray this morning that the music that's integrated in the message, that the video that's integrated in the message, and that the words spoken, Lord, that you will use all of those to touch hearts and to minister. And we thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some people write or do music, and it's like they get the stuff and they write it down. This was written from life experiences that she had. She within a year of when she got married, her husband went through all this stuff. He couldn't stay awake. He fell asleep driving. He was falling asleep everywhere, and they found out he had a brain tumor, and then there were complications from the surgery for that and other complications. So that's music that's written, from real life experience, which kind of gives it, a little more, you know they've been through it. They're not just kind of writing these are good words to put down. The ideal in life is that we have no problems, right? And that's what we want. That's what we pray for. And she implied that in there, that we pray for all of these things. They're going to have smooth sailing, sunny skies, and that things are just going to go along the way they're supposed to go. No trials, so no need trials, right? Who needs that? The reality is that storms come out of nowhere. They make big waves, and they upset our boat, right? Maybe they swamp our boat. There's turbulence in the air, and that comes along, and messes come in our lives. And next slide. So, okay, that's my daughter, my oldest daughter, went out to California to a friend's house this past week. That's a grad student now that graduated from Liberty, and she had invited Jana out. And so on the way back, I love airplanes. I love flying. I just love everything about it. I don't know, the sound of the thrust of the jet engines and everything. I love that. So I was like, take pictures. So she videoed some, and she's like, yeah, a little bit of a rough landing. So I sent her one of these pictures. I'm like, that's a rough landing. So rough landings happen sometimes. So, my friend that's a pilot said it's more art than science, and he's a commercial pilot. And he said some days you've just got it, and it's smooth, and you don't feel a touchdown, and then other days it's not like that. And you get crosswinds. You get stuff in life. You get crosswinds in life and downdrafts and all kinds of stuff going on. So that's how life is. Jesus' disciples in the boat, right? They were out there, and Jesus said, Mark chapter 4, he said, okay, we're going across. So Jesus is sleeping in the boat on a pillow, and meanwhile, this storm comes up, and the Sea of Galilee is great for these storms that just come out of nowhere, but the storm came up. And the disciples are like, we're going to die, wake up. So apparently Jesus was able to sleep through this storm, and, did that take Jesus by surprise, that storm? Did that take the creator of the universe by surprise, that storm? That wasn't a surprise, but it turned out being a lesson for them when Jesus was like, okay, it's good, we've got this. So on Father's Day, since it is Father's Day, we can look at examples of fathers, right, and some great fathers out there, and we see some great biblical examples. There's Abraham. Abraham prayed for Isaac. He raised him to love God, to make sure he had the right wife even, right? Sometimes we make fun now, of people like the mom has got to approve of the choice of wife. But here, Abraham was like, he sent his servant, he's like, go to this one place and get a wife. If you can't get a wife, then come back. Don't bring anything else back. Bring back that one kind of wife. Job prayed for his kids. And we read in Job that Job was, he says that he prayed for his kids. He offered sacrifices. The kids would get together and have a family party. And he would offer sacrifices just in case they had sinned. He didn't know they had sinned, but he's like, I'm just covering all these bases here. So, wow, pretty cool dad, right? Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy, and so not biological father, but a spiritual father to him, and he took great pain to give him a godly example, to write to him from in prison and say, here's some stuff that you need to know, here's some stuff you need to do. So Paul, another example. And then there was God, right, that had, okay, his first kid, Adam, right? And Adam, he gave him a great garden. He gave him a great wife. Talk about pets, man, the pets that he gave Adam, right? Your kids ask for a kitten or a puppy, and like, what, a kitten, a puppy? I don't know if we can do that. How would you like to have you, right? I mean, how about a pet giraffe, right? It's like, here, pet giraffe, okay, cool. So Adam had all these pets. That sounds like a really cool dad right there, right? They give you, sure, whatever, elephant, no problem. But there are even storms that we see here. For Abraham, he had to sacrifice, or he was given the command, go and sacrifice your son, his only son that he had waited for forever, thought that was never going to happen. Then that happens, and God tells him, sacrifice him, right? Have you ever had to tell someone something that you really didn't want to tell them, right? And you're like kind of wringing your hands, and it's like, I should tell them now. No, I don't think the time's right. I'm going to wait. I'll wait till another time. And it can be hard. And so here, Isaac, Abraham, it seemed he knew that the answer was coming, but he was at a point, and he had Isaac on the altar. And so that, like, that's pretty serious. I'm guessing Isaac's probably starting to figure out what's going on here too. But laying Isaac on the altar, he wasn't seeing the answer yet. And so that's a dad being in a tight spot. How about Job? All of his kids wiped out in a storm. Storms come, right? Paul, knowing that if Timothy followed his instructions, remember Paul was writing from where? He was writing from prison, right? So he's probably knowing that if Timothy follows the instructions he's given him to live a deeper faith life and to minister properly, that Timothy is probably going to end up at some point in the same circumstance. And then, you know, maybe even death. And then there was God, right? Because we mentioned God earlier with his kids. And can't you see God? I can't believe you did that, Adam. Right? Dad's ever said that to your kids? I can't believe you did that. But the difference is that God probably could believe that Adam did it because God knows everything, right? So I'm not coming as someone this morning that's experienced all of these things. And families have been through lots of stuff. You know, I think of families that have to, you know, their kids are in the military and come home in a flag-draped coffin or something, or they've lost kids to disease or tragic accidents or spiritually had kids walk away. And I don't want to discount those, but so I'm just coming from where we are, what we know. So here is a picture of our family. Okay, there they are. If you don't know them, we have Anna. Anna's here this morning, and she's the one looking embarrassed. And then my wife, and then Yana is here this morning. Jesse's not here. He just got off duty, like, I don't know, a few hours ago. He's sleeping now down in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's on the midnight shift, and that's me back there. Hannah is our daughter-in-law, and then Josiah's here too. So that's the crew. So out of this picture, we have been through, like, different adversities throughout time. We've been in that picture. Let's see, if we look cumulatively, we've had two have been through cancer. We've had endocrine problems. We've had chronic illness problems. We've had glaucoma, stroke. We've had, like, a whole ton of stuff. Yana has been through, I don't know, like, lots. I tried counting the surgeries last night, and I couldn't count. I was like, I don't know. Bulgaria is the only number. When I have a number for, that's two, but and CCMC, Boston Children's, I'm like, I don't know, CCMC 5, 7, I don't know, Boston Children's 9, 10, 11, I don't know, do you have kind of, I don't know what the count is, one in Washington. Yeah, it's up there. So out of everybody, I think, like, I'm probably the most normal one in the, okay, yeah, I'm getting some looks from that third row there, from the ones that really know me. So they contest that. They're like, no, I don't think so. So anyway, so that's where our family's coming from, and that's where we're coming from on this. And throughout, despite those other things, we've had these trials going on and on, but up to, you know, each one seems like a lot, right? When you're going through something, it's like, whoa, what's happening here? And then after all those, like a little, about a year and a half ago, then we had something come up that was like, seemed like the trial of trials. And so that's kind of what we're looking at this morning. That was in October. So we are going to see a video now, about an 8-minute video. And we can go ahead with that, and then I'll be back.
On the show today, we focus on individuals.
This is Liberty University did this
in their lives, and how their faith has given them purpose and the strength to overcome. That's all in this edition of Game On.
This is their sports program. It's like ESPN Sports Center.
What's up? Welcome into Game On. As always, alongside Brett McGibbon, I'm Matt Warner.
Yeah, we're so glad you've joined us for today's show, and it is a special one. Today, we're focusing on individuals who have overcome incredible challenges within their lives, and we begin with a young lady who has inspired Liberty University.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's said that God gives his hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. That certainly seems to be true in the case of Yana Babbitt. The Liberty athlete has faced more than her fair share of challenges, the latest of which has tested her both physically and spiritually. She's being tested. But as you're about to see, she refuses to be defeated.
That was probably one of, if not the toughest day. I'm pretty sure that was the toughest day I've had as a coach.
Before the accident happened, was one of my best seasons ever. I was very motivated.
It was a pretty regular and routine exercise that she was going through. We were doing step-ups on a box.
That whole summer I was training and I wanted to get better and better.
All of a sudden I see Yana kind of coming off the box a little bit different. I could tell that, you know, it didn't look right.
I came down to racket and my foot tripped up and I sat straight down with 135 pounds on my back. They were checking everything to see how much movement I was feeling. And one of the officers took the shoes off and he asked how it felt. And at that moment, I realized that I was losing feeling on my legs. I remember there'd be times that I would get the kids up before the worker came in and like get them dressed and like get them ready. And I just enjoyed the fact that I was helping out and I felt like I was needed.
A sense of purpose meant a lot to this young girl growing up in a Bulgarian orphanage.
The older you get, then the more you kind of realize that, oh, the older I get, the harder it's going to be for me to get adopted because a lot of families are looking for babies or toddlers, younger kids that they can grow into their family.
Yana was born with cleft lip and palate, and surgery had failed to fix it. At 9 years old, the prospect of adoption was a long shot. But that's when an American family stepped in and chose her. It was exciting, yet bittersweet.
I remember like the actual day that they adopted me, and it was kind of heartbreaking because Bulgaria is all that I knew, and the orphanage is all that I knew. And so to leave everybody there, I remember I was crying as like the car was leaving the orphanage, and it was very hard. But at the same time, I was very happy too because it's like I'm gonna get a better life in America.
Her new life in Connecticut saw much growth. Yana had successful surgery, learned English, and was now a part of a loving family. Her early life struggles had also forged a competitive drive that translated onto the playing field. Yana excelled in sports and was given an opportunity to compete in the javelin at Liberty University. She put in the work and she found success, but then came that fateful day. Yana's back injury was unstable, so she was transported to UVA Medical Center for surgery.
The doctor were telling my athletic trainer and the coaches that it wasn't looking good. I wasn't going to be able to come back walking from it because of how bad it was.
In spite of the dire warnings, Yana held out hope, and she would cling to her faith.
During that whole time, I never felt alone. I never felt like I was doing this on my own because the athletic trainer, Mary, was there. The coaches were there. Everybody was just praying, and even the whole school was even praying because they heard about my accident.
Surgery was a success, and Yana's first glimpse of hope began with a wiggle.
The nurse goes, "Hey, Mary, did she tell you yet?" I was like, "Tell me what?" She was like, "She has movement. was like, what? So I turn around and bust into her room, and she's like, I can move my toe. And I'm like, no way. And so she pulls back the blanket, and sure enough, her big toe is able to just move a little bit. But I've never been more excited for a big toe to move in my entire life. Like, we are crying, we are laughing. You're holding on to hope and you're holding on to faith. But that was that moment of like, this is real. Like, God is working a huge miracle here.
The road to recovery began at a rehab center in Atlanta. Yana continued to make progress, cheered on by her Liberty family.
What are you doing?
She was walking again, a stark contrast to her early prognosis. But with each step forward, Yana was also moving into the difficult reality of living injured.
Within this past year, I would say I would say it's been the hardest. When it first happened, it was easy to talk about God, and it was easy to share that all that God's done in my life, and knowing that, okay, I'm going to be able to come out of it. But then after I came back in the last 4 or 5 months has not been easy, because I'm now able to walk, I'm able to do everything, but at the same time, I'm in a lot of pain. And the rest of my life, I know.
Living each day with the physical struggles and the memories of what had been.
Some days are easier than others, but when it is the hard days, it's reminding me of how much I've lost. But I'm also reminded that I'm still growing, and I'm growing in Christ. And no matter how many times I fail in honoring God or like giving it all to God, that He's still there for me.
Faith in the middle of the storm.
I want people to realize that walking with God is not easy. It's a daily struggle, but He's never going to leave you. And He's always going to be by your side, helping you through the challenges that you're going through.
Yana's injury has prevented her from ever competing again, but she's been able to stay involved with the sport she loves in a new role as a coach.
Yeah, that seemed like a lot better on getting that hip around.
I had to realize that my purpose here has changed. Instead of being the athlete, I am now like helping out coach in any way that I can.
Want to come more from the top, okay?
She's at a stage that it's not so obvious because she's not in a cast. It's not so obvious because she's not in a wheelchair anymore and on crutches. So people kind of forget about it.
In, out, in and out, out. There you go.
And it's good because she wants to be treated as normal, but it's hard because she doesn't feel normal and there's still a lot of pain and a lot of process left to go.
An enduring reminder of the past. But through her struggle, Yana looks forward and sees the greater purpose.
To reach others for Christ. So any way that I can reach others through my story is what I want to do, and I want to be an encouragement to people.
Excuse me. So that's kind of what's gone within the past like year and a half. And so life can turn upside down in a moment. The next slide has the quote. Okay, so walking with God is not always easy. Okay, it can be a daily struggle. And I think sometimes when we're reaching people for Christ, I don't think here, but I have. You know, seeing in the past of people like, oh yeah, give your life to God, everything will be perfect, right? And we probably do damage when we do that, because then when the first thing goes wrong, it's like, wait a minute, I thought it was supposed to be perfect. And it's not always perfect. So life can turn upside down in the moment. When it does, how does God prep us for that? What can we do about that when we're walking through it? How do we cope with that? What's an okay way to react? And does God care? Right? Does God even care? So a little background to the story is that the week before this happened was was I was going to work on a Wednesday, and I have on my phone I had the K-Love channel on, or one of those. So the music that was playing during that, this one morning I noticed it was all of these songs about enduring through struggle and God's grace in struggle. That there was some, if you're familiar with it, was they're playing kind of contemporary Christian stuff. So Citizen Way, When I Am With You, Trust in You by Lauren Daigle, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, Danny Gokey, Blessings that we played earlier. And there are a bunch of others. And as I was driving into Groton and getting closer to work, it dawned on me, and I was like, wow, Lord, what is going on? This music this morning, every bit of it is like enduring, you know, it's not the happy music like, I'm going to praise you, Lord, you know, it's like there's trouble, but God's there. And it really got me praying for that last bit into work. I was like, what's going on, Lord? Are you trying to speak to me about something or what's going on? And I pulled into the parking lot that morning, and I was just getting out of my car, and my phone rang, and it was NFA. So I'm like, NFA. So I've got one child in NFA, so it's got to be something about that one child at NFA. They don't usually call this early. And it was the nurse saying, oh, your daughter just fell down the steps or up the steps or however, and so you need to come get her. I think she needs to go to the ER. So she had tripped on the steps and cut her head, which went to the ER. Did you know they use super glue on people now? It's like super glue, and they're like, take her home. She gets to stay home from school the rest of the day. So I'm sure that's always like a welcome thing to hear, like, you know, it's worth the fall. But then the headache went on. So the next day, instead of going to work, we had to go up to Hartford to the neurologist, and he had to check stuff out and make a determination. And then we had to check for retinal damage because there's, because Anna has an eye thing that the retinas can detach easily. So the next day it was Boston. And the word we had from the neurologist was, okay, she has to stay home for a good while, dark room, no travel, and have her just chill for a long time until this, because she's got a really good concussion going there, and so that has to all settle down and come back to normal. So I said, okay. And then the next morning, okay, so this has been a week now. I've been running Boston, Hartford, all over the place. So come Saturday morning, it's like, that's my time. The house is quiet. Who likes to get up early on Saturday morning? Not a lot of people, but I do, because there's quiet in the house, and I can do my Bible reading, and I can pray, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I threw a load of laundry in because I looked at, we didn't have time to mess with that all week. And so I was going through that, and then I got a phone call from a 434 area code. And I was like, wow, what's this? It's kind of early in the morning. My thought, when I see a 434 area code number, which is the Lynchburg area code, my thought is always, Yana has this longboard that she rides all over the place. And there's lots of hills there. I mean, the college is built into the side of a mountain. And so I saw the call. So when I see 434, I'm always like, oh, no, Yana crashed off her longboard. And this is probably the hospital saying your daughter's here, and she fell off her longboard. But no, it was her coach. And he said, yeah, we had this thing happen. We don't know what's going on, but we'll call you in 20 minutes, but let's pray. So we prayed. And 20 minutes later, he called, and he said, she is getting life flighted to Charlottesville because her spinal cord isn't severed, but it's not stable, and so it's not looking good. And he didn't say, are you coming down? Or what he says, when will you be here? And if you try to fly from here to Lynchburg, I don't care if you're going from Providence, Boston, Hartford, it's like you can't get there from here. And same with Charlottesville. So you have to go stop here, stop there. And then you actually overfly it by a couple hundred miles. And then you get on an airplane that flies you back. And it's like one flight a day going in. So we looked like, forget it. It's going to be quicker. We're just taking the van. And then, of course, we had Anna Grace who couldn't travel because of this. So we called the Franklins. And we were like, could you take Anna Grace? We told them quickly what's going on. And they said, yeah, sure. So we dropped her off. And Jim said, when are you coming back? And we said, I have no idea, because we just didn't know at that point. So we were down there, and we were so thankful they took her. And I could tell that they treated her really good, because I don't think Anna wanted to come home, because I hear you didn't have to do much chores there. So but chores happen at home. So anyway, so we had that. So it was like a long week. And, of course, I had like all my clothes are wet. They were in the washer. They were just starting the process. So we had all this scrambling around to do. But it was a long drive down. But the coaches were fantastic. They were like men of prayer. And the next slide coming up, I think that's the next one if I didn't miss one here. Yeah, there we go. So that was Yana's final night in Charlottesville, is that they're like, well, what would you like? And Yana said, she said, I'd like us to all get together and pray. So all our coaches came out. And the guy in the back in the hat just to right of your right of center is like incredible guy of prayer. I thought he was awesome the first time I met him. And the guy standing directly behind her, too, the head coach, is like just incredible guy. So they prayed. But it gets hard because as a parent, you're going through and you see this hard-driving athlete that like is constantly working out. And you can tell I'm not like a working out guy. So I always say, I'm like, I'm not ever going to run unless something's chasing me. Because what if God only gave you so many running steps and you used them all up and then the bear was back there? You're toast, right? So that's my thing. But seeing this hard-driving athlete that's now, remember when it hurt to just move the sheet a little bit on top because of nerve pain and stuff? Or seeing trying to learn to put socks on when you can't feel your legs. We take stuff for granted, you know. So putting on a sock, how hard is that? But then suddenly when you can't feel your legs, that turns into a pretty big deal. So it was a lot of stuff. Sleeping in chairs in hotel rooms. They gave us a hotel. I mean, in the hospital room, they gave us a hotel, but we didn't really get there too much. But we're mostly in there. So prayer, faith, all those. Yeah, you pray, but it's not like in the movies where people, like, you know, you see in the movies someone's in the hospital, loved one's in the hospital, and the family member's down in the chapel, like, all the time, and there's the angelic music coming in and stuff, and there's not really time for that in real life. You're in the room and trying to grab bits of prayer and counting on other people praying for a lot of that. So then we had decisions to make. Where's rehab going to happen? The best place was Atlanta. I was like, Atlanta, that stinks. That's like the furthest rehab from home and from the school and all that kind of stuff. But that's where it was. So we met. We had a conference with a doctor there who, in the medical conference, he was a very tactful doctor, had great bedside manner. And he informed us in the thing. He had a model of a spine, and he's like, here's where the problem is, and you're never going to walk again. You're never going to compete again. It's like, whoa. And this guy is like a specialist at one of the premier rehab facilities. So Yana said, never? And he said, it would take a miracle. And I looked up, like, we know somebody that does those. So, and he's like, don't get your hopes up. They, you know, and I was like, no, it's okay, but we'll pray. So, prayer, we did. And pray people did everywhere. The Liberty University here. Mission spots, you know, it's been Kenya, they were praying, Guatemala, they were praying, Taiwan, all over the place, different missionaries, they were praying, people were praying, God answers prayer. So against everything, Yana walked out like 2 months later with no crutches, no, you know, no nothing, so we give God glory for that. That is absolutely awesome. Even driving home from there was weird because we had to leave like 5 o'clock at night to get up here to get Anna Grace. And an hour after leaving for this 10-hour trip, our transmission light starts blinking on the van. It was like, this is really not good timing on top of everything else. But we pulled over and we prayed, and it went out, and we got home. It started blinking later, but it doesn't matter. We made it. So all this stuff going on. So how does one press through? Okay, it's you look at it. We see other people going through stuff, and sometimes we're like, how do they do it? How do you? And you look at it, and it seems like you can't. But it's then God gives us grace, right? And He'll give you grace going through a circumstance. The other people will look and not understand how in the world he can go through it, because God's given that person the grace that needs it. And we just look back, it's like, how does this happen? So, but God gives His grace. 1 Corinthians 12:9 says. But Paul is writing, but he said to me, Christ, my grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So then I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. Therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, with insults, with troubles, with persecutions and difficulties for the sake of Christ. Whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Okay, so part of that is God gives us grace. Some of it is preparation. I mentioned, like, on the way in that into work early that week, you know, kind of all this stuff. I'm like, wow, what's going on here? Sometimes our scripture readings are, when we're studying, God will just impress something on us. I've had times driving at night. Maybe you have too, that you're driving, and all at once, I don't know, it's just like, oh, I need to be like extra aware. And then a deer will pop out or something. That's the Holy Spirit will speak to us and do stuff in us, and so we need to be paying attention. Right? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. So grace. There's two things that God does that I'm highlighting, two things that we do. So grace is one of those things that God pours that in. We should seek him for it, but God pours that in. Perseverance is something that's up to us. I have a slide with James chapter 1. That's where we ended up in Atlanta, which was a long ways away, so I stuck that in there. Sorry about that. I missed that thing. Okay, and there we go. So James says, my brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect effect so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything. In that verse, that joy, so some version says, consider it pure joy. And I'm looking, I'm like, one of three things is happening. Either A, James has kind of a twisted sense of what joy is, because trials, that's not joy in my book. Or maybe joy meant something different in the original language. You know, so the Bible, it's like you're in the Greek, you're in the Hebrew, and so maybe they got that wrong, but that usually doesn't work. So that leaves us with the last one, that maybe there's a bigger picture to see. So with perseverance, wouldn't it be nice if you could listen to a message and just absorb, like, we absorb, we learn what the scripture says, but what if then when you listen to that, it's like, I've totally got this, and then you run up against it, it's like, it's good, I've got this down. But unfortunately, that's not always how it works. So we can learn how, we can read scripture, we can know the what to do, but it's in the trial that we have learned that we really get through there. Royal Rangers, we got Royal Rangers guys in this crowd. There's a merit in there. There's some merits on survival, right? Primitive shelters, primitive snares, all this kind of stuff. So the kids learn that in class, and they go through the bookwork for it. Here's how you make a shelter. Here's how you make snares. But you've got a book, and you're not really making a shelter out of that book. You're getting the knowledge that you need to make that shelter. And then hopefully you can apply that when you get into a situation where you have to. So a lot of times the typical thing is go through the book and then say, okay, we're going to go this week and we're doing a survival camp. Well, Jesse, who's the one that was the cop in the picture, and then Nathaniel Martell, that used to be here, they were like, when Josiah and Jeremy had to go through their thing, they decided they're going to do it different, because they said, when you're in a survival situation, you're not planning on being in that situation. You kind of got yourself, one way or another, you got yourself or you ended up in a bad spot. However you got there, it just happened. It's not like, I'm going to go later on and I'm going to have to make a survival shelter. So they told these guys that they're working on their hiking merit. So they're going out in the woods and doing a day-long hike. And so they hiked and hiked and hiked and hiked in circles probably at the end to end up in the right place. And then around 5, their leaders announced that, I don't think we can find our way back. I guess we're going to have to camp here tonight. So it's a little more of a surprise, because it's like, I wasn't planning on doing a survival merit. I was planning on doing a hiking merit. Which, if you're doing a hiking merit, you should have your survival stuff, right? You should have a knife, you should have water, and, you know, some snare line and a way to make fire and stuff. But so in that, it's like it gives a twist. And it's actually in doing that, in making that shelter and being out there doing the first thing. What's the first thing they say with survival? It's be calm, right? Don't get all upset, because then you can't think. And so in doing that, they were able to, they did it. Now they know that if they go out there and they get lost or they fall down and break their leg and can't crawl out of the woods, boom, they're good. So it's in that perseverance that we can gain the joy of seeing that we're able to hang on. So if it's making that shelter, then that's perfect, because now it's like, I can do this. I've been in this before. I know how to do it. It's all good. And then we find out that's enough. In going through a trial, we find out that God is enough. God is enough. So faith is hanging on in the fog, right? Persevering when you can't see anything, because if you can see everything, you don't really need faith, right? Because like I can see it all ahead. It's perfect. I can see it ahead. There is a picture of a light that I'm going to show you, which you're like, why are you showing me a picture of a light? That's kind of weird. There's a road that winds up over a mountain on the way down to Lynchburg as you start getting off the highway, going into, then you go on some back roads and through Rockfish Gap and all that kind of stuff. Many trips down, I saw these things, and I thought they're reflectors in the side of the road. We have reflectors in the road up here, and I was like, oh, okay, they've got reflectors. That's cool. This road goes up a steep hill. It winds this way. It winds that way. It winds this way, and then eventually your exit all at once, like, dives off this way and then switches back underneath, and it's a big mess of road. But what it turned out is that one time I went down there, and there was fog, like dense fog, like I wouldn't be able to see from here to the back of the church. And it turns out that fog develops a lot on this side of the mountain because just the topography and stuff. And it was then that I noticed these things that I thought were reflectors that I just happened to notice. I'm like, oh, reflectors. No, those are LED lights, and they have them placed maybe every 100 feet or so. They're like really frequent. And I found that in that fog, you drive from one little orange light to the next little orange light because you can't see that. Or even going by this orange light, you may not see the next one. And you're like, I know it's there. But you're going light to light to light. Okay, so they're inconspicuous by day, but they are everything when you're in the fog. And, you know, they're like lifelines, and it's a road sweeping back and forth. You know, it keeps you there. So God's blessings can be that way as well, right? God's blessings, when we really see them, is when the normal is stripped away. Think about the culture we live in, all right? If we've had a busy day and there's not time to cook, it's no problem. I can go onto my Domino's app, and I can pick it right there, like, oh, yes, I want mushrooms, I want black olives, I want whatever. Tap the button, and it comes back, and it says, Amy is building your pizza. And I was curious about that one time. I went, and I'm like, well, there is one girl there, and I guess her name must be, you know, I didn't know if they just throw a random name out. And then if they're all guys, I'd be like, wait a minute. But so it's ready when you get there. Dunkin' Donuts now, the app. You can order your coffee and donuts, so it's all set. So you go up and save a couple minutes in the drive-thru, right? You need NyQuil in the middle of the night, no problem. Walgreens is open. Walmart is open. So it's all, you know, it's all there. It's all available. And if we can't get it at one of those places, we can go on Amazon and order it, and we can have it delivered tomorrow if we're willing to pay a little extra for shipping, right? I'm not knocking these things because they're great. I've used these things, and they're a nice convenience, and it's a blessing to be in a culture where you can do that. But we miss the blessings through these because what we need, we provide for ourselves, right? What we need, we get. I need something? Cool. I'll take out my little plastic card with a chip in it, and I don't have any cash in my wallet, but even if the thing costs, you know, 58 cents, boom, I can put it in there, and there we've got what we need. So that's all pretty cool, but the thing is that we then get to a point that we can miss God's blessings. We've told our kids sometimes when they're going through something, it's like, count your blessings. And sometimes they're like, wait, what do you mean? What blessings? What can you see? Because we're used to it's just there and available. It's when those things are not there that suddenly we start seeing God's blessings. And so that's part of the perseverance thing, right? When you're in the hospital room staying with someone and you don't really want to leave because they're in pain, they might need something. Well, suddenly, if somebody comes through that door, a visitor, and they've got a cup of coffee in their hands, and they're like, here, I thought you might like this. That is suddenly a huge blessing. It's not such a blessing when you're just like, oh, I'm just going to get a coffee. Or they come through the door with a sandwich wrapped in saran wrap from six floors down that may have been in that cooler for two or three days. And if you can get there, you would like look at that sandwich and be like, not touching that. But suddenly, that sandwich is a blessing. That's sustenance, you know, where they're like, hey, go catch some rest. I've got this. The little things that are blessings, we start to see them when we're going through this stuff, and that's perseverance, okay? So when these trials happen, we need to hold on to God, all right? It's an opportunity for us to look in the dark for the less obvious blessings and mercies of God. And there's a ton of them, but we miss out on them, don't we? All right? So we miss out on them. So that's one of the things we do, perseverance. The other thing is, and that's a note I wanted to do. I circled it and I almost drove over the top of it. It's the endurance of the deepest, hardest things in our life that provide that provide the clearest view of God's blessings. It's when we're in those things in the absolute dark, we see God's blessings. Just like those little lights that we ignore, boom, when it's fog, that's all you're focused on. You're seeing it right there. So we have grace that God gives. We have perseverance that we need to like push in and press in. The other thing is honesty, okay? Honesty. And it's far easier to trust God when we see him in the big stuff than when we're living in the grind of each day. Okay, so in our case, at first, when all you've got is prayer, when the doctor's like, nothing's happening here, then you pray because, like, prayer's the only hope on this. And it's pretty easy to press in with God and be excited about what God's going to do. And then especially you see God do something huge, and it's like, whoa, God just did this healing that the doctors are like, that's not happening. And so you see that. But then when it gets into other stuff that's like, the day-to-day living, like when your daughter is living in pain, any of your kids are, what do you want to do as a dad? What's your big thing as a dad? You want to fix it, right? Dads like to fix stuff. And it's like, when you have something you can't fix, it's frustrating. I want to be able to get a screwdriver, a wrench, a big roll of duct tape, EB green, I don't care what it is. Some way, I want to fix it, right? And now you run against this thing that you can't fix. And it can be hard when you're the person. We had conversations, right? And remember, you're saying, I'm kind of upset with God. And so honesty here is like, the honesty part is just getting in. Because that's when it gets hard, is when the big thing has happened. And now there's this little thing that's not right. And it's like, God could do this big thing. Why isn't God doing this little thing? And we don't know why God's not doing the little thing. Maybe God's not doing the little thing because he's leaving a reminder of the huge thing that he did. Maybe he's using that to reach other people. Maybe he's going to do something down the road, but in the meantime, he's got some other plan. But it can be hard because we're used to seeing, we want to see God do big things, but then when it comes to little, it's like, oh, come on, God, you did that. Why can't you do this, right? So sometimes you pray, and it seems like it's bouncing off the ceiling, right? You ever had times sometimes you pray and everything's happening, right? Your spiritual life is just going super, but then there's other times that it's like, I'm praying and I'm not really hearing from God right now, and that's when it gets tough, all right? If you look in Scripture, in Judges 6:13, Gideon is speaking to God's messenger, and that messenger, there's debate, like, is it an angel? Is it, you know, like an early thing of Jesus? But Gideon is saying, pardon me, because God's just told him, he says, hey, mighty warrior, and he's talking to Gideon. Gideon's like, I don't see any mighty warriors around here. There's just me. God's talking to him, and he says back, he says, pardon me, excuse me, if the Lord is with us, why has such disaster overtaken us? Where are all his miraculous deeds our ancestors told us about? They said, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. Okay, so in the Bible, you see people being honest with God. We have limits on that, right? Jeremiah says that we're not supposed to, he says the clay shouldn't say to the potter, why did you make me like this? So I mean, there is stuff, you know, but you know, so we don't want to, like, say to God, like, I hate what you've done here. But at the same time, we can be honest and say, God, why aren't you answering? What's going on? Jeremiah says, speaking to God, you've been the object of Israel's hopes. You've saved them when they were in trouble. Why have you become like a resident foreigner in the land? Why have you become like a traveler who only stops in to spend the night? Why should you be like someone who is helpless, like a champion who cannot save anyone? You are indeed with us, and we belong to you. Do not abandon us. I can almost hear like a dad saying that to the kid that's been gone for a long time, you know, and just ignoring things coming home. It's like, why are you ignoring us and stuff? And so you've got Jeremiah, this awesome prophet, saying this to God. In the Psalms, you see it a lot. Psalm 69, I'm worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Psalm 77, the psalmist says, will the Lord reject us forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? The psalmist is asking hard questions here. And he says, has he in his anger withheld his compassion? But God knows those thoughts that we have ahead of time, right? He knows if we're thinking that stuff. It's not like when we voice it that God's like, I didn't know you felt that way, right? I'm shocked. I'm hurt. God knows ahead of time. Psalm 139:23 says, examine me and probe my thoughts, test me and know my concerns. And God does. God knows our thoughts. He knows our concerns. I feel that not being real with God kind of gets in the way of our level of intimacy with him, right? It's like we're kind of hiding out on God. It's like, I'm not going to tell God this. I shouldn't tell God. And he wants to know. There's a hospital chaplain that we became friends with in Virginia, Melissa Fretwell. And she says, leaning into the messiness is the means of discovering God's grace and mercy. It's when we have to get into that messiness and when we have to really get into it that suddenly now we're getting a little glimpse. We're getting honest with God, and in that, God is moving. So God's not surprised, right? God is omniscient. That's a big word they teach in Bible school. It means God knows everything. So he knows it. He's got our thoughts down, and he's probably going like, why aren't you being real with me? What, you know, talk to me. Those that have been here for a while remember Bill Martell. And Bill always used to do this thing with me, and he could read faces, and he could read what was on your thoughts, and he'd say, how's it going? And if I responded back, okay, and he could tell it wasn't okay, he's like, no, how are you really doing? And he would press you for that, because he knew. And likewise, God knows. So honesty. And the last thing I'm hitting here is something that God does, and that's loyalty. All right? Finally, no matter what we're going through, or for how long, or how intense it is, God is a loyal God. All right? Notice the last two, perseverance and honesty. We do, but loyalty, God does with us. He loves us loyally. He carries us loyally. Whether our lives are totally coming apart or everything is just happening the way it is supposed to be, God is there, right? He's there through it. When we're in the depths of despair asking, why, God? He's there and he cares. Psalm 145, 8 and 9, the Lord is merciful and compassionate. He is patient and demonstrates great loyal love. The Lord is good to all and has compassion on all he has made. Christine Kane says, God's love for us is based entirely on his character, not on our performance. It's not what we do. It's God's character is to be loyal, is to love us loyally. And that's pretty cool. Conclusion, Laura's story says, I no longer believe the myth that trials are a curse. Trials are an opportunity. They're an invitation to do good works, to glorify our Father in heaven, to transform our lives from the inside out, and to drive us into the arms and footsteps of Jesus. All right? So, it's pretty good. And kids pastor, so we have to have an object lesson at the end, which this object lesson, I give credit to Yana, and I don't know where Yana got the object lesson, but I think it was one of your instructors, or that's what I thought. You don't know? Okay. This, it's a shoelace. It's a big, long shoelace. And there's, okay, quick quiz. The little plastic thingy at the end. Anyone know what that's called? Anklet. Oh, man. All right. Good. Very good. It is an anklet. So the anklet is like this much of this shoelace. And the rest of this shoelace is just a shoelace. And this little anklet part, that kind of represents our life. That's the length of our life. So we look at these big trials, which from our perspective, this is like everything, right? This is what we're going through. It's like all-consuming, and it's part of it. And we look, and it's like, oh, how long, oh, Lord? And what's going on here? God's interest is in perfecting us to be ready for a relationship with him, all right? The rest of this shoelace is kind of like heaven, except this shoelace is nowhere near long enough. It would have to be an infinitely long shoelace to represent the part of our life that's lived in God's presence in heaven, but the aglet wouldn't get any longer. So that's what it is. Okay, so what we're enduring now, even if God says, no, the healing for whatever reason isn't happening on this, it's like God has a bigger interest in us in our relationship with him. So the summary, grace, okay, grace God does. That's he prepares us, and then he just gives us grace when we're going through, grace to stand and to press through when it looks like we wouldn't be able to. Perseverance, that's something that's up to us. We need to be working on that perseverance and working with God's grace, but it's when we persevere and keep at it that God is able to, we're able to see the blessings that God's provided. Honesty, that's our part too. Don't play games with God. He knows your game already, right? And finally, loyalty. Loyalty is, that's God's thing. So we are going to have piece of music that's going to play at the end, and then we're going to do the altar part, and That's it. So, and again, that this kind of pulls it together. So just kind of catch the words and music and worship God. God's loyal love is here. It's constant. It's unchanging. He loves us with an everlasting love. That's Jeremiah tells us that, right? God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It doesn't change. And he's there. He knows where we're hiding. He knows it. And so we don't need to hide out stuff on him, play games with him. We need to run into his arms in trials, in the good times, and the times that it feels like our prayers just smashing back off the ceiling, coming down. Persist. We need to persist in that. Laura's story that wrote the first song says, Jesus came to heal, but he doesn't always fix the broken things that I want fixed. But if I allow him to, God will always heal my broken relationship with him. That's first and foremost. That's important, that relationship that we have with Jesus. And if we don't have that, he wants to fix that. He wants us to get into a relationship with him. If we're in one, but it's like Rocky, he wants that broken relationship fixed. So as we pray, as we get into prayer, okay, he knows what we're feeling. He wants us to be in a oneness with him. That relationship isn't broken anymore. He wants a closeness, a oneness with him that will enable us to get through what we're doing and to serve him, just to serve him wholeheartedly. Okay. The lie is that you're in the battle alone. We're not in the battle alone. Okay. The enemy of our souls wants us to believe we're in that battle alone. The lie is that no one gets it, that no one cares, that God himself is unaware of our situation. He's not. He knows our situation. He knows our feelings. Okay. So I guess first I'm going to speak to dads. Dads, you have a hard job. It's like you've got spiritual leadership. You've got leadership, in many cases, trying to make a budget meet, trying to, you know, raise kids and handle this problem and that problem, balance work and your faith life and your family life and all of these kind of things. So for you guys, we pray. There's a lot that gets tossed into the salad of being a dad. Then if you've got trials on top of that, that's the next thing, okay? If you're a dad that's going through trials right now, man, we're going to pray. And if anyone wants individual prayer, come on up right afterwards, and we will do that. And also, moms, others, there's moms that are either, they're both mom and dad. There's military moms that have a husband deployed or something, and so, again, they're handling the whole ball. So, again, prayer there. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't even have that relationship at the start, so, okay, God wants to heal our broken relationship with him. That's first and foremost to him. So if we have no relationship with him, if we have one that's rocky, then it's time for prayer. All right. Father, we thank you this morning for your loyal love. God, we thank you for your grace that brings us through circumstance upon circumstance. And Father, we pray for each one here that I want to pray that all of them have no trials, but God, I know that through those trials is when we grow, and that the trials come to everybody's life, regardless of financial standing or career or anything, God, that those trials are something that they come. I pray that when those come, Lord, that those in here, that you would give them that perseverance, the endurance to just press through, to just keep going through it no matter what, and to press in with you, God, and to be honest with you. And that honesty, God, that they would come to a place of a tight relationship with you, Lord, where there's backing away isn't even an option. Thank you, Father. Lord, would you touch each one? Would you touch the dads this morning and give them wisdom in their day-to-day operations of life, God, their day-to-day deals with family and with work, and help them to find that balance and everything. And God, for those that have extra on their plate in terms of trials, Lord, that extra measure of grace, help them to see that, help them to look for it and to find it, and to look for it in you first. Thank you, God, and for all others, God, for others that are going through trials, whatever, God, would you be with them? Bring them through, and bring them through stronger and with pure joy in the end as they look back at what you've done and the ways that you've sustained. We thank you, God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.